Violence is resurgent in Afghanistan, a wave of violence from sourced by the Taliban ahead of the foreign troop withdrawal later this year. Now, at the weekend, the Taliban claimed responsibility for a bomb that ripped through a restaurant in Kabul, killing 21 people, 13 foreigners among them. Taliban says that that attack was retaliation for a NATO airstrike in the Parwan province earlier this month. That killed 8 civilians. Wave of violence, it's a serious blow for the Karzai government, which goes to the polls in April and will give pause to thought for the US and its allies now on the brink of removing themselves from Afghanistan. What lies ahead there? Dr. David Kilcullen is Chief Executive Officer of Kairos Associates and a former soldier, diplomat, policy advisor for the Australian and United States governments. David, welcome.
Hey, nice to be here.
That situation on the ground in Afghanistan, it seems to be increasingly tense and somewhat grim. What's your reading of the current situation?
Actually, I think my reading would be, and the sort of theme that I would push would be, firstly, the military situation is actually a little bit better than people seem to think. The political situation is much worse than people seem to think in terms of Afghanistan. So I hear a lot of people, certainly here in the United States, worried about how is the transition going and will the Afghan military be able to hold their own against the Taliban. We can talk through this in more detail, but the evidence of the last fighting season last year suggests that actually they're not doing too badly. They're actually holding their own pretty well. But what people aren't putting enough attention on, I think, is how dangerous the situation is around this bilateral security arrangement, which is this document that President Karzai is supposed to sign at some point with the United States. And without that document going forward, it's quite likely that we'll see some significant political instability after the elections that you mentioned. So I think people are sort of underestimating just how dangerous the political situation is right now.
Well, let's talk more about that political situation. I mean, what are the causes of that uncertainty there?
Well, as I think your listeners know, the Afghan constitution limits the president to 2 terms. President Karzai is in his 2nd term now. The election is on the 5th of April, and there are a number of candidates who've put forward their own sort of position as people that want to be elected as president. And it's a pretty good field. And in fact, across the country, the elites of Afghanistan seem to be backing the election and saying, you know, we want this to go ahead and we want a peaceful transition of power. We want to see a new Afghan president in place by the end of the year. But there's been signs over the last year or so of President Karzai really not being too keen on that and wanting to retain power through one means or another, either by saying, you know, it's so dangerous that we can't have the election, so I should probably stick around, or by trying to do a sort of Vladimir Putin-style swap where he's no longer the president, but he has some other position. And there's actually a lot of folks in Afghanistan that just wouldn't wear that, that just wouldn't tolerate that kind of attempt by President Karzai to continue in power de facto after the elections. And so I think that's where there's a lot of uncertainty. And if President Karzai doesn't sign the bilateral security agreement, then there's every chance that the US might lose patience and might walk, and we then would have very little support, financial or diplomatic or technical support to the Afghan government going forward, and that could really significantly undermine the transition.
I mean, it's a well-trod path, as you suggest, with other examples of having gained power, the reluctance to cede it, even in democratic processes, repeated here and there. I mean, what signs has President Karzai given that his intentions might not be to facilitate that election, the potential of handover?
He's gone back and forth on it. You know, there have been examples. For example, he at one point tried to put forward family members to take on the role as president, and the idea would be that he would step back but remain in the presidential palace in kind of an advisory capacity. There's also been talk at different times, most recently in the middle of last year, where President Karzai sort of highlighted that, you know, look, the security situation may actually not be good enough for a transition, and we may need to just kind of extend my time. There was also an attempt about a year ago to sort of stack the Afghan Supreme Court, which is ultimately the body that will have to decide the outcome of any dispute. So I think people should be putting more attention than they actually are on the internal Afghan political situation. But as far as the military situation is going, actually throughout the last fighting season, both the Afghan army and police had almost no support from ISAF. And in fact, one of the ISAF is the International Security Assistance Force that Australia contributes to. And, you know, the fact that this was the lowest year for coalition casualties for some considerable time reflects the fact that, you know, ISAF troops were involved in very few firefights. And in fact, the Taliban spent most of the year trying to hit the Afghan military very hard to demonstrate to them that they wouldn't be able to stand up to the Taliban once we leave. And actually, the Taliban lost that fight. So, you know, there were three big fights in Helmand, which is in the southwest, in Kunar, which is in the east, and a province called Logar, which is just south of Kabul. And in all those areas, also Sangin, which is the area west of Kandahar, but in all those areas, the Taliban really hit the Afghan military hard, captured ground initially, but the Taliban were eventually pushed out, and the Afghan military were able to re-stabilize and recapture virtually all that ground. The worrying factor militarily is that in order to do that, they lost quite a few people. So people are watching Afghan military casualties closely because they can only get to a certain level before they really start to impact on the cohesion of the force. But right now, you know, to my surprise, frankly, they're actually doing pretty well. Kunar province, which is in the east, which is an area that I worked in extensively when I worked for ISAF, is safer now than it has been since about 2005. And we pulled out about a year ago. So I think against all expectations, the ANA are actually doing, the Afghan army are actually doing very well militarily. Now the problem is, you know, what we just talked about in terms of the senior level elite political situation, whether they actually have some kind of political backing, because an army is only as good as the state that it's fighting for.
Is there, in that political situation, is there, if the military side of things is not for the moment favouring the Taliban, although that will be obviously a long test on that proposition, does the political situation offer the Taliban opportunities as well?
Yeah, I think it does. And in fact, to my mind, that's the important way of interpreting what happened in the Lebanese restaurant in Kabul that you mentioned, the Taverna de Leva, which is a fairly well-known expat restaurant that rich Afghans, members of the political elite and expat advisors tend to frequent. Actually, some senior Taliban eat there also from time to time. But this was a pretty complex attack. It was a suicide bomber clearing the way for a number of shooters to come in and then shooting diners. And as far as we know, only the Afghan restaurant staff escaped and everybody else that was in the restaurant at the time was killed. This is an attempt by the Taliban, alongside a whole lot of other attempts that we've seen in the last year or two, to bring the fight to the elites in the cities in order to make a political point. For a lot of the conflict, the fighting mainly happened in little country villages and remote frontier outposts and didn't really affect people in Kabul. But now the Taliban's trying to bring that, you know, feeling of the conflict home to political elites as a way of influencing the political process. I wouldn't be surprised if we actually see some willingness by the Taliban to participate in the electoral process later in the year. They won't necessarily admit that that's what they're doing, but I think that they may see some benefit to having a political stake in the future of the country. And so I think the right way to see Taliban violence right now is they're fighting to support a political agenda, to strengthen their negotiating position as far as they possibly can for the end of the year when most Western troops are gone and they're negotiating with a new Afghan president.
David, fascinating insights. Much appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, man. Good talking to you.
Dr. David Kilcullen, he's Chief Executive Officer of Kairos Associates, former soldier diplomat, policy advisor for the Australian and United States governments.